As we've been reporting this morning, the National Treatment Purchase Fund has suspended all funding for private services in hospitals run by Children's Health Ireland. The decision follows revelations that a consultant, now retired, allegedly referred his public patients to his weekend clinics, which were paid for by the NTPF in 2021. The Health Minister and Fine Gael TD for Dunleary, Jennifer Carroll McNeill, is with us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
You're very welcome indeed. So the NTPF has suspended this funding. So does that mean it only found out less than 2 weeks ago with the rest of all of us, including you in the HSE, about what had allegedly happened with this consultant?
That's my understanding. And that is one of the great difficulties in relation to this. One of the very many difficulties that the NTPF only discovered this recently, that there was no referral to the National Patient Safety Office. And let's not underestimate the impact of that. Nor was there a referral to the department or notification to any of us. So that's not a satisfactory way of managing that. And I expect that to be very, very different. There is no CHI without the state. The state is the funder of all of these services, and people who work in CHI, both at executive level, but let me be very clear, consultants in CHI and everybody who is in CHI is a public servant, and it is important that they understand that.
How much money does this amount to, the NTPF funding?
The NTPF funding is an ongoing stream of funding. And I just want to be clear, I mean, the NTPF pause, I think, is appropriate and they need to do their piece of work. But my understanding is that that doesn't impact the procedures that have already been committed to, and that they have looked for certain assurances from CHI, which I understand they're in the process of receiving.
But children who are waiting for several long months, they're going to be affected by this if it lasts.
They may. I mean, I think the NTPF is a very serious and professional organisation who will do their work quickly. But I think what's really important is the underlying concerns that the NTPF have and that are in this report, which show that, or which raise concerns that the children should be receiving care at an earlier stage in the general public system, rather than getting to the point where they're on a waiting list that requires NTPF intervention. And that is a very serious issue, because for two reasons. One, children should be getting the most timely surgery or medical interventions that they need. And the failure to provide that service across the board, whether it's in this section or any other section, impacts patient safety and patient outcomes. One of my major concerns as Minister for Health is making sure that the public system is working in the most productive way, in the most during the public hours that consultants are paid to do public work in a public hospital. What's not acceptable, and what the concern is here, is that those procedures are not happening quickly enough or as in an efficient way, sufficiently efficient way, and that they are becoming such long waiters that the NTPF intervention is required. So my underlying issue is, how are those lists being managed? So what I've done is Bernard Gloucester and I have decided to have an overall audit of how are those waiting lists managed generally across the board in CHI in every discipline, to ensure that that's not being replicated.
And I want to talk to you about that.
And also
expand it to the NTPF in just a moment. But just for parents who are listening this morning and who are hearing now that funding for private services have been suspended for Children's Health Ireland, what does that mean for their child if they're on that waiting list?
Well, I would ask parents to just sit with me and sit with the NTPF for a number of days, for a week or 10 days, to allow the NTPF to do their work. This is something where the NTPF absolutely need assurance that this is being done correctly. But what they also need is to make sure that there is no management, or can I say mismanagement, of lists such that a child is waiting so long that they require to be on the NTPF list where there could have been an earlier surgical intervention. And that is the bigger issue here. That is the bigger issue. And that is what raises such particular concerns around the issues in this report. But it also raises the broader patient safety concerns. And what we need to do is make sure that that is happening in the most productive way in the public system, in every discipline. Part of what's necessary there also, in addition to what the audit that we're doing, is what's called a centralised referral mechanism. So what does that mean? It means that if you go to the GP and your child is referred into a consultant surgeon, that they're not referred to the individual surgeon, not to Audrey or to Jennifer or whatever, but into a central referral mechanism, which means that the hospital can assess who has the shortest list, who has the capacity to do this, rather than being sort of assigned to or stuck with an individual who then has the capacity to do things, you know, at whatever pace, and some of them are doing very efficiently and others less. So we need to make sure, and the NTPF need to make sure, and I need to make sure, and Bernard Gloucester needs to make sure, and the CHI need to make sure that there are no perverse practices or no perverse incentives from the way in which waiting lists are managed. So I would ask parents to just sit with me just for a week or 10 days to allow the NTPF to get these assurances and to do their work. The NTPF have already assured that existing surgery scheduled will not be impacted, but our concern is we need to make sure that this isn't happening anywhere else in the system.
Are there deficiencies, though, within the NTPF itself? Because the lines in the report which said that the longest waiters were not seen at the NTPF clinics, that there were 45 children who required surgery but didn't receive an appointment and instead were put back on one consultant's inpatient waiting list, which has a significant wait time. And that leads me to question what oversight the NTPF has of the patients who are being referred for the consultations or the treatments or the surgery which it is paying for. Why wouldn't it see that the longest waiters weren't being seen first?
Yeah, so I wouldn't necessarily see that as a deficiency within the NTPF per se. I would see that as a very significant deficiency within the management of waiting lists within CHI. The NTPF is established to provide funding to make sure that the procedures that need to happen for the longest waiters
happen.
But is there
no auditing? Do they not have oversight?
They don't. What the audit that needs to happen is within CHI, and Bernard Gloucester for HSE, who's the ultimate sponsor of all of these things, is conducting that audit. It should never be the case, my point is, that where there is surgical capacity to correctly look after a child, that that child ever gets to the point of consideration by the NTPF. And one of my concerns and one of Bernard Gloucester's concerns in relation to the specific issues in this report is that there was an earlier capacity to perform surgeries on children that should have been performed, that it should never have necessarily gotten to the NTPF. So I would just make a slight distinction. The NTPF is there to provide funding to do that.
But does it very constructive? Does the very construct of the NTPF, which we'll remind our audience, it pays hospitals and consultants more to see patients who should have been seen earlier, does the construct not reward inefficiency? Does it not run the risk of conflict of interest?
Potentially, but I think what is more pertinent is what are public consultants doing in public time, and what is the productivity within that, and how is that being managed within the hospital system before the NTPF ever get involved? Because what you want and what I want, and this is across the board, by the way, in the public system, not limited to CHI, is that you have maximum productivity within the public hours that consultants have. And I do not want to see a situation where there is less than full productivity in the public system and then private clinics picking that slack up through an insourcing or NTPF model. But can I make an important distinction? We have depended to a certain extent on insourcing to help with waiting list targets. I have a concern, and Bernard Gloucester has a concern, that that has led to some incentives to delay treatment. And that is why a number of weeks ago, 6 or 7 weeks ago, we commissioned a full audit of that practice right across the HSE, right across the hospitals more generally. But this situation has to be slightly distinguished, because what we have a concern here is that there was, and I want to be careful about my language, but that there was visible other capacity to perform surgeries that should have been performed. And where we look at this report that has not been published, and we'll discuss that, my concern for that is, yes, the correct use of taxpayers' money, but can I say even more importantly, patient safety and patient outcomes for very young children who needed surgical intervention. So there are a range of things caught up together, but I wouldn't leave it all with the NTPF. There is a big responsibility within the system already to make sure that people are getting the surgeries that they need within the public's concern. And that is an ongoing concern for me.
And the Irish Times reporting from the report, still unpublished, it has seen it, RT News has seen it, the Sunday Times
yes.
published it originally, that the consultant didn't fulfil his on-call hours for more than 3 years due to health issues, but during that same period he went, in quotation, above and beyond his contractual hours to conduct weekend clinics and was paid €38,500 to do so. So does that suggest all oversight and governance broke down?
That suggests a very, very significant problem. And that is exactly the sort of problem that I'm describing within the productivity within the public system versus then what may happen in a weekend clinic. And there are two different ways. One, and we have to make sure that A, that that is not happening, and that I want to see a public system that's maximum mm-hmm. productivity. I want to remove those incentives that may create perversions of the kind that's described there.
CHI are still not publishing this report despite your call on them to do so, despite the Taoiseach's call on them to do so. Do you have confidence in its CEO, the person who's running CHI?
I have to say that I do. Lucy Nugent has taken over in February, and she has begun a significant programme of transformation in a couple of different ways. One, she has appointed a chief operating officer whose first task, for example, will be to perform a similar analysis, for example, in relation to scoliosis lists. She has engaged in a proper transformation programme, and she is a new CEO who came from a very capable background running Tala Hospital, and she is there and she is new. But it is also important that she will take this transformation programme forward, and we do need a good and strong CEO. A lot of these practices predate her, and I want to offer my support to the new CEO.
So you're not considering bringing CHI under the governance of the HSE?
That's a separate thing. And that is a longer term public policy consideration. But my primary concern at the moment is we have had significant board changes. Now, overwhelmingly, the board members come from 2025, one from 2024 and one from 2020. So there has been a significant refresh. I do have more board vacancies, and I do think that the correct approach to this is to continue to appoint members of the HSE board to CHI board insofar as that is possible, because there's obviously a finite number of them. But I think the CEO has a programme of transformation, and she certainly has our backing in relation to it.
Okay.
Nevertheless, can I just say that CHI also need to respond to the very significant issues that are here. Now, in relation to the publication of the report, I spoke with a good meeting with the Attorney General last week. It is very clear that I do not have a legal basis to publish the report. I have obtained it correctly legally, but I do not have a legal basis to publish it. Neither does the government. It is the property of CHI. I do recognise some of the difficulties that CHI face in the sense that this was a HR report where somebody, like people like ourselves, contributed on a confidential basis mm-hmm. and put themselves at risk in doing so. And there's a measure of management because we do want people to contribute to other okay. HR processes. Nevertheless, I think it's important that a redacted version of this report is published in the broader public interest. I think it is important that people understand the broad issues that have happened here and what needs to happen next.
I want to ask you finally about cervical cancer, because yesterday, just over 7 years after women like Vicky Phelan and Emma Vicfahuna and many others went public on a scandal which ultimately cost them their lives, we met 38-year-old Leona Macken. She is terminally ill with cervical cancer. Her smear tests were misread repeatedly. She got an apology and an undisclosed settlement yesterday. Now, her solicitor, Cian O'Carroll, spoke outside the court, and he said that people were assured that errors were being addressed. People were told they were now going to receive open disclosure and information about their screening when errors occurred. Neither of those has happened in this case. And he said, I am aware of 7 other cases, 3 of which have resulted in deaths, arisen from errors in screening since the supposed fixing of cervical check following the Scally reforms. And in each of these cases, as I understand it, he said, no investigation has taken place at laboratory level. He said he has written to the Minister for Health regarding this over the last 7 months on several occasions. And last week he received a perfunctory reply. Why is it the case that women still have to fight to get the information on their own medical history when it comes to cervical check?
Well, they absolutely shouldn't have to fight this. There should be open disclosure, and that's very, very clear. And I want to offer my apology too in this case, because what you have here is a 38-year-old woman who has been impacted in this way, and so have her family, and that is so, so important. And it wasn't just, I mean, a screening programme will always have, you know, some limitations, because it's a screening programme.
But, the point is, we're talking about this morning.
But she had missed it twice.
She had to fight to
and
get
that shouldn't
the
happen.
Audit done.
And
there's
that
no
absolutely
audit.
Shouldn't happen. That absolutely shouldn't happen.
Why isn't it,
But, pardon me?
Why is it happening?
Well, it shouldn't happen. I mean, it shouldn't happen. So, you know, I don't want to provide a justification for why is it happening. It shouldn't happen. What we want is people in medical negligence cases to have absolutely timely open disclosure. They need a resolution to their case, and they do not need additional stress through going through the court process. Now, obviously, the state needs to manage it to a certain extent in terms of the broader liability, but these are very, very clear cases, and it is really important that people are treated and not provided additional stress and additional hurt through a court process when some of the issues are so very, very clear. And that has to change within the programme for government. I mean, I don't wish to digress too much from her personal case, but there is a very different way that we need to approach medical negligence cases and how they're treated. And that is one of the most important things that I will be trying to address during the period that I am Minister for Health.
Thank you very much indeed. Jennifer Carroll McNeill, we'll be back after this break.